Here's a headline that may surprise you. The federal budget deficit is shrinking. Now, what's more, it's shrinking far faster than anyone in Washington thought it would. And here's part of the reason why. U.S. GDP numbers out. The U.S. economy grew at 2.4% in January to March quarter, helped by strong consumer spending. That's from the AP. All helping the bottom line and all helping the deficit. Well, according to the Congressional Budget Office, the budget deficit will shrink this fiscal year to $642 billion. That sounds like a huge number, and it is, but that's just 4% of our gross domestic product. That would bring it back to 2008 levels. And to put that in perspective, in 2009, the budget deficit wasn't $642 billion. It was $1.4 trillion. So for a bit of perspective on how the deficit started to shrink and what this really means, by the way, it's not all good news, right, Charlie Herman?
Unfortunately, it's not. I mean, this is actually a pretty remarkable event that you are seeing the deficit actually come down. And in a way, it's not that unanticipated, because there's a couple things going on here. One, the sequester. The federal government is spending less money than it was originally expecting to do so. So as a result, when it spends less money, it's taking on less debt.
Why are they spending less? Is that the sequester that we hear so much about?
It's the sequester, exactly. And then when you combine with that the government is actually bringing in more money than it expected, about a 15% increase in the amount of money that it's bringing in from taxes. And what you're seeing on this taxes is it's everything from the payroll tax. If you remember back in December when we're worried about the fiscal cliff, what would happen with this payroll tax going up 2% for all Americans who get a paycheck? Well, that went through, and so the government is collecting more money. At the same time, there was this big rush by really wealthy taxpayers to try and take advantage of tax benefits because their taxes were going to go up in the start of 2013. So they did a lot of things in 2012 to try and take advantage of lower tax rates. That still led to more money being collected by the government. And now, by the way, the tax rates are higher. Then you also add into the fact that corporations are doing well. They're bringing in a lot more. They're paying a lot more taxes.
They've actually been doing well the whole time, all the way since 2009, haven't they?
They've been doing well, you know, by and large, when you look at them as a whole, and they've been, you know, paying more money into the Treasury. So when you add in the fact that the government is taking in more money and at the same time it's not spending as much, well, then that's why you're not seeing as much of a deficit and you're seeing this reduction.
Charlie Herman is business editor at WNYC. Charlie Herman, what about those GDP numbers that I just mentioned? 2.4%, that's growing and doing a little bit better. Below what economists like it to be, which is around 3% usually, but good consumer spending helps drive down the deficit, right? There's a follow-on effect when more money is in the system.
Well, first off, there's a general consensus by a lot of economists and by others that if we hadn't have had the sequester and if the tax rates hadn't have gone up, if we hadn't had the fiscal cliff that we did sort of go over a little bit, that we might see stronger growth, that instead of 2.4%, that it could be above 3%. But whatever the case, this is the situation we're in right now. That report that came out this morning did show that consumers were spending, and this is a little bit of a surprise to a lot of people who really watch consumer spending, because they thought that with the payroll tax going up, meaning that Americans were taking home less money each week or every other week, that they would not spend as much. And in fact, that hasn't necessarily been the case. They've been spending pretty well. Consumer confidence report came out this week. It's at a five-year high. You know, part of this may be because housing prices are going up, the stock market's going up. There's a thing called the wealth effect, where you begin to feel better about, you know, how well you're doing when you see these indicators. Even if you may not own a home or you may not own stock, it's just a general sense that, oh, the economy's doing better, I'm feeling better. And the other big thing to point out here is gas prices really haven't risen like we normally see this time of year. So as a result, a lot of consumers may be feeling that they do have more money in their pocket and feeling a little more confident.
Now, if you've spent the last 3 years, like most of us have, including myself, knowing that the debt is out of control, the national debt, and all of a sudden that you hear news that the deficit is a lot smaller than anybody thought, and there's some sunlight on the horizon, you get really confused really quickly. We're not talking about the debt. And I said it's not, at the top, it's not all good news. The debt is still major problem.
So let me be the Debbie Downer now. So the deficit, this is, you know, on a monthly basis, the government, what it brings in and what it spends, that's going down. That's what we were talking about before. It was over $1 trillion. Now it's expected to be about $640 billion. That money gets added to the bigger pot, the debt. And so what you have there is that debt continues to grow. It is a real problem, especially when you start looking out to like 2023, 2024, way far out. But that's when you really see this huge, you know, demographic change where thousands, millions of people are going to be going onto Social Security. They're going to need more Medicare, that more money by the government is going to be necessary for entitlement programs. And then, you know, the reality is that some of these issues need to be dealt with now. But as we if the economy is looking well, if the government's not spending as much, there may not be as much incentive for politicians to really try and deal with it. And, you know, we're going into the election. So.
Right. And you're talking about that old trope of the grand bargain, solving the long-term problems of demographic shift, Social Security, Medicare, and spending.
It makes it a lot harder to deal with that when you see the deficit.
If
the deficit numbers are coming
down.
Yeah. If those numbers are coming down, then you begin to feel, oh, this is beginning to resolve itself. And we may not need to, you know, we still need to tackle it, but it's not as pressing as it was before. We don't have this debt ceiling or a fiscal cliff or something that if we don't resolve it right now, we're going to go off the rails.
You'd be wrong to feel that way, however. That's sort of your point, that the debt is still a major problem. And if anybody in Washington is starting to feel like the pressure is off and that they don't really need to do something, the politics of the moment may not match the long-term needs of the country is what
exactly.
Is
and, you know, we have to keep in mind that as the economy, if it continues to do better, the Federal Reserve has taken some really extraordinary measures to try and help the economy, especially in the absence of policies and you know, action by the federal government. I mean, some of these things that are going through are more by default, like the sequester cuts in a way were set up by Congress and, you know, defaulted to a lot of these cuts. Same thing with the expiration of the payroll tax going up at the beginning of January. So at a certain point, the Federal Reserve, though, which has been very active in trying to jumpstart the economy, will decide at some point, look, the economy is doing pretty well. We're going to slow down some of these actions we've been taking to try and get the economy going. And, you know, a big concern is, do people confuse that with, oh, my God, they think the economy is growing too fast. They're trying to slow down the rate of economic growth. Let's, you know, sell our stocks. Let's make a lot of other changes. You know, there is a point where we need to get back to some sort of normalcy, whatever that may be. And so it could be a little bit of a bumpy road ahead. And of course, you know, we're not great at long-term planning, but we really do need to think out that what's happening to the overall debt, which is, you know, quickly approaching $17 trillion.
Charlie Herman, WNYC business editor. Charlie, the one economic number that everybody really cares about, they care about all these, but the really big one is employment. And unemployment is still higher than we want it to be. It's lagging. They say it's a lagging indicator, but does this good news today portend any actual good news for jobs?
Well, I mean, we've been seeing, you know, some pretty steady job growth in the couple months of this year. That new number will be coming out next week. Yes, that's one people will clearly be paying a lot of attention to, but we just haven't seen solid job growth even as the economy has been doing well. And that's going to be a fundamental problem. That needs to get fixed before things really take off.
The economy doing better, GDP at 2.4% growth, and the federal deficit down to $642 billion, way lower than $1.4 trillion in 2009. But employment next week is really what matters. So says Charlie Herman, WNYC business editor. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.